This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Guess what you've done? You've stayed with us through the first hour. Now it's the second hour. It's the show on Cube Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee, and you are a loyal listener. Thank you all for being with us. I'm sitting here with Doug Wilkie, Marnie Ryer. Yay. That's Al Perkins. By the way, Doug just had a birthday.
Thank you.
And he's our age.
I'm 30.
And a half.
You sell that however you
got to
sell.
That's what we established at Cobalt on Thursday night.
That
I was 30 years old.
All right. Well, it's been an interesting 30 years then. Anyway, here we are.
That was so lovely and deadpan. I loved it.
Well, it's accelerating at a
velocity.
Rapid velocity.
Rapid velocity.
Oh, my God. Well, here we are, hour two, boys and girls, and here's headlines. A bill that would ban long paper receipts has cleared its first hurdle in the California state legislature. The bill would require businesses that earn more than $1 million a year to give electronic receipts only unless customers ask for a printed one on demand. The measure by San Francisco Assemblyman Phil Ting passed its first committee vote on Monday. Ting says it would remove tons of paper from landfills. Modern-day paper receipts cannot be recycled because they are coated with chemicals that enable thermal printing. Older receipts that would be printed simply with ink could be recycled, but there are fewer and fewer of those in production as time goes on. So CVS, which is notorious for giving you a 4-mile receipt.
Walgreens and Total Wine.
All of them do.
It's ridiculous.
But I agree. Like, and especially, it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me, like, for example, Mom and I shop at Fry's, and we have this, you know, our shopper's card, right? So I would think if you sign up and you're a frequent shopper and you use a shopper's card, you're going to have something, you've registered online.
Yeah.
You're going to have an email address. So why couldn't your receipt then just automatically not be printed and be emailed to you every time you shop? What the hell?
Automatically.
But we got to deal with the old people, the grocery shoppers. Sorry.
Well,
right, but still, they've signed up.
But they itemize. That is their featured reading to the parking lot because they want to make sure they got every deal and every coupon discounted.
Then maybe you go online when you sign up and you select electronic receipt or paper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be one option because I would love to not get those. I would love to just have it all emailed to me.
I'm completely on your side.
CVS are going on forever.
My watches are scanning to make sure I get the up or the price changes because they took all my discounts.
Now, what I have been using of late because... Like you said to me when I got the Explorer, you said I have a big boy vehicle, I can take my shopping bags, and I do. But all the other shopping bags went to hell. But Whataburger, those motherfuckers gave out a fantastic shopping bag.
They did.
It's huge.
Oh, wow.
And it's super industrial. So I use that now when I go because you can fit everything in it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and get another. I'm going to have another cheeseburger just to get another bag. But people look at me like, where did you get that? I'm like, it says Whataburger on it. I don't know why.
When they ask that.
This is a mystery. Like, where did you get that bag? They literally have asked me that because it's a beautiful, lovely, sturdy.
They have the
and it's from Whataburger.
I think that's what Barbara Seville should do. Well,
what
could have done
what?
In her act.
So, Clayton, I want to ask you because I was perusing something this was happening.
Okay, Jenny, hang on. I'm going to interrupt you because it's my show.
No, it's okay.
Jenny, I realize that you're saving the receipts because there's coupons. However, those coupons could be emailed to you, and then you could print.
And or just automatically put onto your card.
Or put onto your card. You could click and save them, just like you do with Fry's, our local Kroger, Fry's, whatever store. From California, it's called Ralph's.
Safeway, I take a picture. They'll have, like, digital coupon for people that have the card.
Yep. Oh.
And so I click on the app, and there's a scan button, and I hold it up. And
they're really good.
While you're standing in the store,
you see the thing that says, this is on sale if you're a card member.
Okay. Like Triscuits for a dollar. Did you ever see that one? No, seriously, I bought like 12 boxes of Triscuits.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
And all you do is do that.
Your fiber is up to the roof.
It was good.
And when you go to the thing, you just watch them take off all the money because they're, as soon as you put in your card number, it links it up to everything you took a picture of. Mm-hmm. You can go through the ad that week and take pictures of what you want to be on sale.
Yeah, I made this discovery.
But again, the elderly are not going to do all these things.
But eventually, they'll die. Right. What's going to happen is attrition. I'm going to use a nice word.
That's a big word.
Natural attrition.
Natural attrition is going to happen. So we will be those people who still actually do it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There's no way of getting around it.
But I have
nobody
a question about
alive.
This
Go ahead, Doug.
Emailing
The floor
piece.
Is yours.
Thank you. Because it's related to what you just said. And I know you like a good segue. Well, so
that is actually Kat Carlson. And you're in her chair, so you win.
I take on the personality of whoever I'm subbing for, as I was told.
What's your question?
So the alternative is then to just have them email to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But people like me, I really don't care about the receipts. No offense to anyone who is it Jenny
Fair.
Or whoever loves
Fair.
Them. So I really wouldn't want my inbox. I don't want to see all that shit.
But
so can I opt it, out?
Yes. Or, you can. Okay. Tell, you, that would be.
That's what was, I would want to do.
Or you could call them spam.
Printed receipt. Or you. Well, I would say in the profile, you could say printed receipt at the store. Boom. That's one. Number two, you get an emailed receipt. Boom. Or no receipt. That would be your third. And it would just disappear. Or,
perfect.
Like he said.
Then I'm in.
In your mailbox, you can actually set up rules. Let's say it comes from grocerystore.local.com. Whatever. I'm just making up a name.
Call them. To tell them they're spam.
So you can set up a rule that all emails from that email address go into a certain box. And you could create a grocery store folder if you wanted. Or you could immediately say, all go to trash. And then it would just automatically
actually,
happen.
Now I'm warming up because...
now you've changed
well,
your
no.
mind.
Well,
look
not
at
about
you.
Grocery
you're
stores. But maybe. But about other times, like, I'd want one for, like, restaurants and bars. Like, because I always like to check that shit before...
How
I don't
fucked
like to,
up you were when you left?
No.
That makes sure they didn't double charge
no, they
you.
Double... I've been double charged. So I always hold...
Otherwise known as how fucked up was
every
I?
Every bar... Yeah, well, and, well, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, all right, no, I'll say yes to that. Okay. You won me over. So
that's how all of this works.
That's how all of this works. So I always hold on to the bar and or restaurant bar when we go out, which is usually there's both food and
right.
And I always hold on to those until they clear because I did have some bad. It was years ago, but it's always like haunted me the double charging thing.
And that, I agree. That's
and
happened.
Then I just toss them. So
the,
that might be good to have a file just and then every now and then just go in and delete it all, but like check against my bank statement.
Sure you can.
Okay, I'm.
So what
I'm
do
in.
If somebody offers some like sign up for this email and get 10% off? I sign up for the email. Right. I accept the email. The second time the email comes, I hit unsubscribe.
Yep.
Email, go away.
Oh. I let them all come in, and then I have them shuttled into their own little folders. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Lowe's. And let's look in the Lowe's folder and see what we got. And then I just go in and look, and if there's something current, then I use it.
No, I just unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different strokes.
Yep.
I would.
Yep.
I mean, if I could follow how coupons work, I would do it.
I have a coupon story coming up. Doug, it's your turn. Go
okay,
ahead.
So sorry, listeners, Gay Frogs and Alex Jones, I couldn't find it, and your link was conspiracy theories, so I just got lost. And
sounds like
I don't care.
Frog.
So anyway, he got kicked out. He was yelling and calling people libtards and got kicked out of someplace today.
And
but
wants to
we
kill
can't find
my
this
boyfriend?
Story. And, yeah.
Because of the whole Mueller probe and everything that's going on, wants to kill all journalists.
Oh,
execute.
Great. Execute them.
Journalists, one of them being Rachel Maddow.
Okay, not good. So
he actually said that phrase. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find it.
Free speech.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So instead, why don't we just talk about this cunt?
He used her as an example.
Betsy DeVos.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of her.
Because this is all over the news today. And it's just so disturbing. So it's kind of long. I mean, edit the middle out. But Education Secretary Betsy DeVos on Tuesday defended deep cuts to programs meant to help students and others, including eliminating $18 million to support Special Olympics, while urging Congress to spend millions more on charter schools. So let that wash over you. We're not doing – this is her statement, this bitch. We are not doing our children any favors when we borrow from our future in order to invest in systems and policies that are not yielding better results. She said, this is her prepared testimony when she was testifying before a subcommittee considering the Department of Education's budget request for the new fiscal year. It was the first time that DeVos, a wealthy former Michigan Republican Party chairwoman and school choice advocate, had been called before a Democratic-led panel. So that's a new twist. So you know they were going to come for her, right? While proposing to add $60 million, just remember that number, more to charter school funding and create a tax credit for individual and companies that donate to scholarships for private schools, DeVos's budget proposal would still cut more than $7 billion from Education Department, about 10% of its current budget. We need to cut to the chase here. So it calls for eliminating billions in grants to improve student achievement by reducing class sizes and funding professional development for teachers, as well as cutting funds. in the case of $17.6 million cut to help fund the Special Olympics. Sorry. A program designed to help children and adults with disabilities.
She should be part of the Special Olympics.
She actually should. Well,
please,
that's an insult
to
those
people that are part of the Special Olympics.
My bad.
Yeah, that's okay. But I understand where you're going with
but
that.
But most of this administration should be part of that.
Listen to what she said. DeVos suggested it's better that it be supported by philanthropy. Mm. Not hers, of course.
She's going to align this with PBS.
Yeah, and added, we had to make some difficult decisions with this budget. Difficult decisions. Mm-hmm. Do you know... how so
thank
listen
you.
Listen to this question.
Your peripheral vision is
came,
good. Thank
oh,
you.
I'm on it.
Atta girl.
I love this. Listen to this question from one of the congressmen.
Will, you say it. Will,
do
listen.
You know how many kids are going to be affected by that cut? While also pointing out a recent report by a nonprofit group that concluded the U.S. government has spent as much as $1 billion on charter schools that never opened or they closed because of mismanagement or other reasons.
Yeah,
DeVos has been a longtime supporter of charter schools,
and somehow makes money off of them.
Oh, of her family
she owns
does.
Them, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Okay, I'm trying to get to the okay. Another question. So, or I'm sorry, U.S. Rep. Rosa DeLauro, who is chairwoman of the subcommittee that held the hearing, called the budget proposal cruel and reckless, saying it will hurt the middle class and low income families. How can you support this budget? I mean, genuinely, she said. As Secretary of the Department of Education, how can you support and even boast about taking 10% away from our teachers and students? What isn't included in this study, but I mean in this report, but I read it before coming here in another one. This same thing also cuts $7.5 million to the blind, funding for the blind, and it's not bad enough to kick the blind. Mm-hmm. Also cut funding for books for the blind. Mm-hmm. And
what?
Again, I know.
Well, she probably thinks they can't see him anyway.
Oh!
She has no idea what Braille is.
She has no idea what Braille is. I mean, she's probably
and
like, well,
so,
why do they
and this
need
is,
books?
But this
she's
bull-
a fucking moron.
Now, wait. If you'll recall this, now, we did a story on this show.
I'm not wrong.
Dumbass, 45.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, in Trump Tower, Google this and verify this. Uh-huh. When they were building it. When okay. they were,
I, oh, yeah.
He you're right.
He wanted no Braille in the entire building because right. those people wouldn't be coming to his building anyway.
Oh.
He wanted no Braille on the elevators or anything. He didn't understand what it was.
Right.
And when they told him, he was like, well, they won't be coming to my building. So he had them, he wanted them to eliminate, but obviously the ADA, you can't do that in a public building because the Trump Tower is a public building.
He hasn't tried to cut
the last thing I want
to. That piggy, I'm surprised he hasn't tried to get rid of that.
No, that's horrible.
I feel like that piggybacks with her.
Of course it. No, yes, of
course. Why would blind people need books? Listen, you stupid cunt.
I know.
Because they have Braille books.
Exactly. And this thing, and so if she wasn't just horrifying enough, what she is, she's also peddling this. This is the last thing I'll say about it. Is that she's peddling this old argument, which about philanthropy and private sector support, that she can't even have an original idea, which is that then, you know, people in the private sector will just take care of this. We just need people to donate to the Special Olympics. Well, I'm sorry, we can't always count on people doing that, although lots of people would
sure.
But also, don't we have a responsibility as the
as humans,
the public, right, to do that? Especially when you look at all the money that they're pumping into the charter schools that are just rip off things.
Right. They're cash ripoffs for people who want to spend money to get
tax
their
money.
Children.
Yeah.
Oh, there's tax money too, but it's all for these little. The families who want to get their children to special schools,
but
we're going to just piggyback the entire scam for them getting into college.
A ton of private charter schools are horrible, though.
Oh, right.
They're terrible. Huh? I mean, there are good ones, like Basis is here. That's like the greatest school in the country, Basis Charter.
Daniel Ray's mother owns one.
But there are the other ones that they're fly-by-night ripoff. That's where the DeVos scum is,
right.
The money scum.
Well, and the people write down the Republicans down in the house for us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awful.
It is. We can move on. This is probably not the best story for everybody. Oh, no, but sorry. I just needed to vent.
During the Red for Ed, watching all the people that the Red for Ed stuff, and I'm like,
as an educator, I can't with
that
this.
Eddie Farnsworth or whatever
is the
fat bastard. And, well, as a big girl, I feel like I can make that comment. And the then, there's another jackass.
The chat room gave up. They've gone another direction. Sorry, everyone.
No,
he started that earlier.
The whole thing. It's too much.
Okay, move on. She's a horrible, horrible human being. And her brother, which I'd like to point out, is Eric Prince.
Right.
From Blackwater.
That dumbass.
So that family has wreaked such havoc upon the world, I don't even know where to start.
Right.
Yep.
And they have 9 yachts. You just need to know that.
Stupid.
All of them are pumping awful things into the environment.
Right, yeah.
Because who has 9 yachts or the need for them?
Well, there might be 9 of them.
Oh, my God.
And they don't want to share.
Well, they need their own yacht, of course.
Duh.
Santa just is white.
Yeah, right.
He just is.
Let's go to something a little
lighter.
Thank
you, Marnie.
A little lighter. Fucking obviously. God, I love this woman. Fucking obviously. Adele and Jennifer Lawrence made a surprise appearance in a New York gay bar.
Oh, Matt Marosco is on this story.
I would shit myself.
Did you see who she was with?
Yeah, okay. Jennifer Lawrence.
No, who she was with.
Let her tell her story. Drinker
Adele
juice.
And Jennifer Lawrence. That's right.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
In fact, here's a picture.
I thought you left out the Adele part.
There's a picture.
Oh, there. Oh, wow. She said it all as one long hell.
I did. But yeah. I thought, did I have something
no, else I,
there?
I apologize.
Not a problem.
We've all been drinking.
I yield my time to the signature.
Which was not last night. It was the night before.
She's going to reclaim her time.
Last night, English singer, songwriter Adele and American actress Jennifer Lawrence dropped in at Pieces, one of Manhattan's oldest gay bars. Have you ever been?
Yes. It's right next to Stonewall. Or right in, it's like right by Stonewall, across the street next to
where
it.
Where were they?
Okay. At Pieces.
Oh, okay.
Right. Fans were excited considering Adele's outspoken support for LGBTQ rights. In 2011, she performed a free concert for the charity Pride London. She also dedicated a June 2016 performance to victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting. And in April 2018, she officiated the same-sex marriage of comedian Alan Carr to Paul Drayton, which... to die. Like, forget it. Yeah. Adele's performing the ceremony.
Wow.
The end. They were in there. There was a drag show that was going on, which just...
What?
Here's
in
a video of Adele being questioned.
In New York City?
I've never
in
heard
a gay
of one.
Bar?
In Get New York City?
Was there salsa in bar?
It might have been. Anyway, here's a video of Adele being questioned by a drag queen. Who is named Britta Filter.
That's a wonderful drag name. I love it. Britta Filter.
That is a good one.
It's very short.
If it'll play.
Oh, and I need to know, are you single or taken?
I'm married.
You're married. Okay, great. You're married. Now, but are you still ready to mingle and have a great time with a gay smith?
Fucking obvious.
Yes! I live for it. Listen, I'm so excited.
Oh,
yep. Fucking obviously, nice. She says. Come on. As you heard, you're married, but are you still ready to mingle? Fucking obviously. Just love this woman.
With the gay boys.
With the gay boys, yeah.
I got the second video queued up, so I don't know if you wanted that or not.
That's fantastic. So later on, Filter had asked Adele, what does she do for work these days? No, but wouldn't that be great? And Adele responded that she's actually a stay-at-home mom. Her son, Angelo, is about 6 years old and she has not released an album since 2015, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, that would be,
she just had a birthday.
Anyway, she is playing in this, I'm so glad you got this because I was laughing. She's playing a musical chairs-style drinking game to Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head.
But
this is amazing.
And it's a little long, so we probably want to talk about it. I like how she keeps holding her hair up.
I know. And you have to have your hands. Her hand is way too low right now. Right, so you have to have it above the boobs.
Is it above? I thought it said hands above the tits.
It might be. Right.
Above
hands
the
above the tits. But she kept putting her hand down.
Go the other way.
Can you imagine? I'm just hanging out with Adele.
And she's British, so she loves them. They just Kylie.
Yeah.
Like, no one knew they were coming.
No, they just walked
Would you just shit
bar.
Your pants
hands
if you were just sitting
tits.
There?
He just said it. Hands back your tits.
Yeah.
And then when they come around... And she just keeps going.
Kind of musical chairs, but no sitting.
Can you imagine standing next to her?
I cannot imagine that. Or Jennifer Warren.
I would not be dancing. I'd just be looking.
It's the joy of New York when you get down there.
And she misses it. She's out. She's out.
Well, I know Alice told us about, and I actually went there myself, but no one famous. But like Marie's Crisis, like people just wander in.
Same with the
usually pretty famous.
The duplex.
But that's
the duplex,
like,
right.
I don't know if you got
duplex,
the picture.
Right.
They talk about Unwilling Grace.
But this is like A-lister deal.
Yeah. Well,
so were
a,
they together? They entered together,
yeah,
like they were they, like they were
they
on some
showed,
date,
they were
or
out, they were just
so they're
together.
Like best friends or something.
Yeah, they're close
that
friends.
That in itself is a story.
It's fabulous,
right?
So what I love though was that Adele lost, and I don't know how many of you guys watch The Hunger Games or have seen any of the Hunger Games movies. I had to watch them because of Erin's students. Like they at the time when she was doing middle school stuff.
I love that book.
They were reading that. Hey, Joe. Anyway, so Adele loses, but seems to resist drinking the penalty shot. Disappointed by her loss, Lauren storms the stage and topples Adele over, while Filter says this isn't the Hunger Games. In the background, a patron offers to drink Adele's shot, repeating, I volunteer! I volunteer! Which is, of course, an iconic line from Lawrence's 2012 Hunger Games film.
Oh, gotcha.
So Lawrence has also shown support for the LGBTQ community following the election of Donald Trump. She encouraged marginalized people to fight for their rights, stating, let this be the fire you didn't have before. If you're an immigrant, if you're a person of color, if you're LGBTQ plus, if you are a woman,
plus,
don't
I
be
like
afraid.
That.
I know, me too, right?
Yeah, because we don't need the whole alphabet.
No, because for real.
There's actually that whole movement to do that now.
Yeah, it just says, don't be afraid,
plus.
Be loud. And yeah. But I thought, what a fantastic fucking pair.
Oh, my God.
To come waltzing into the bar you're at and
I would probably have a big reaction to that.
I would. Mm-hmm. I would have shat myself. I know that there's just no two ways about it.
I'd have been like, it's karaoke night. It's karaoke night. I know the signs of something. It's karaoke night.
I don't care what you want.
That's what
to
sing like Sade.
Get over here. Turn that on.
Annette, most of them don't. The ones that want to be noticed in public, but the ones that want to just go out and have fun at a bar,
just going to waltz in.
They just walk in and act like nobody's around them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do.
And they pretty much,
that's what I do. It works for me.
There's people you can be around that you know you're around them, and then people that you're like, is that who I think it is? Because they're just out having a normal night.
But
Bill Murray will
where,
show up anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it depends on where you go and who you are. Like, if you walk into a gay bar next to Stonewall and you're Adele, and Jennifer Lawrence,
you're in good
you're
company.
You're going to be treated with respect, I think.
Please don't take this the wrong way, but everybody has like three or four friends that kind of look like Adele. Mm-hmm. So your first reaction is going to be,
fair.
Isn't that them?
Yeah.
But Al, maybe.
But I mean, to be treating them with respect.
Then you hear her talk, you're like, oh, that bitch is for Dale.
Yeah.
Maybe you could answer this question.
Maybe.
Because nobody in that video looked like they were going crazy, like they were having fun, but it wasn't autograph crazy, like, oh my God, Adele's here, like freaking
that's
out.
That's what I mean. It's
is that like a New York, or like, because New York, you see famous people all the time.
Is it like in that bar?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Like in that kind of a bar in New York, they probably had this happen before.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure. Everybody walks in.
Because nobody was losing their shit about it.
The bad part is now with phones, it's all on camera. Like somebody sneaks in, like the big, like Marie's Crisis was my little secret.
Exactly.
And then people started showing up there.
Right.
And it was all on YouTube videos. So now you can't get into Marie's Crisis because you're
everybody
like, who's going to show up?
Right.
And the one key doesn't, like the thing that always kills me, they have not changed that Dexter's piano. And I usually go on the nights when Dexter is working. His name may not be Dexter. It's me telling the story.
Yeah. Smitty, how do you do it, Smitty?
The one key does not work.
Right.
Oh.
And they will
go. They haven't fixed it?
No. And they may have made a little bit more shekels and now have the money to fix that one key. But that key has never worked. It's always a little bit off when he hits that note. And it's kind of funny. But you'll have famous people just stand there and be like. And then there's like, are you like famous from. Because it's a level of famous. You know what I mean?
Like Broadway.
If the Broadway star comes down to the Village, people go ape shit. You're the king of New York. Like you're on.
And they know who
you're
that is.
You're living the dream.
Yeah.
So there's people like there's different levels of it, and it's kind of funny. But everybody's just like, oh, good, welcome aboard. Like it's very. And if they're Harrison and I have sat next to and bumped into people in LA that are famous, and if they're most of the time you're just like, was that person? Because they're just living their life. Like, I don't walk around that says movie star. And there's one guy that she likes that I was trying to tell her who we had just like, because I'm never paying attention. So I always walk into people that I had just slammed into.
You ran into what's her name?
Oh, I completely plowed into Reese Witherspoon right. and just yeah. about knocked her into next week, and we both were like, okay. But it was the
with
guy
her
that,
spoon, without her spoon, I don't care.
But knocked a spoon right out of her hand.
Yeah, I fork her.
The mentalist. We were yes, in the Third Street Promenade in Santa Monica, that's and all. We like seriously came into like a blow end. With the mentalist, whoever his name is. And now she likes him. But at the time, I'm like, and she's like, I don't know who that is. And I like listed all of his whole movie profile. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah. And then one day she's like, oh, I like this guy. I'm like, that's the guy. That's the mentalist. So it's just normal. And they just look like some, like most of the time when you see somebody, you're like, do I know that person? Like, is that somebody I know from work? Like, why do I know that face?
Well, and they all don't go out their hair down. They wear a hat. They're in a jacket. They don't always look like they do on TV.
Yeah,
because,
they're not moving with 7,000 people in a limousine. They're just...
Right, they just walk around.
That's especially true of models,
interestingly. Gael Garcia Bernal, like, walked into him in San Francisco and, like, did this whole dance. And, of course, as soon as I figured out who he was, I kept doing the dance. I'm like, I'm going to pretend I don't know which way you're going.
I would do that dance
forever.
And we're
going to keep going because you're the most beautiful man in the world.
I've done that multiple times, being in a bar or being wherever I've been. And somebody will walk in. They'll be like, oh, my God, blah, 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 blah is here. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, eventually, blah, blah, blah is going to make their way to wherever the hell I am. I don't need to go because...
Right.
I'm not a celebrity. I've never... But I understand from that standpoint of...
Yeah.
I've been around enough people... I used to go to Graceland all the time. I realize it's a different caliber of star level, but like you walk into a restaurant with all these people who people freak out. I danced with the nurse, the live-in nurse for Elvis Presley. Like I danced with her. I've been around Lisa Marie. I've been around all these other people, but I know not to do that because I don't
so
want to freak
funny
out.
That you said that about waiting. It just wait.
You wait.
If you're, it's going to be fine. Yeah.
And then you're like, well, hi Bobby or whoever, whatever name. Like, hey, how are you? And they're just like, oh, hey. Bubble. And then, and if you don't freak out, then they'll chat with you and talk and hang out and be like, well, how long have you lived here?
The most important night of my life when I met Kate Winslet at the party for HBO at the Plaza Hotel in New York. That's exactly how that played out.
I never knew that happened.
Oh, no. Well, no. I try not to talk about it every 5 seconds. Yeah. But so anyway, but I will say,
the,
what did she say?
The guy in front of you at Starbucks that looks kind of like George Clooney.
Oh yeah,
it's George Clooney.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that happened to me more than once in L.A. So that night, well, and I will say I was invited to that party, so that made a difference. It wasn't like there weren't like fans in. A friend pointed out to me it's different if you run into Kate Winslet like in the bathroom of a restaurant. That's right. Like a fan moment. Sure. So I was invited to the party. It wasn't that kind of thing. So, like, in the party thing, they don't know who you are. Maybe you, like, have a lot of money.
Yeah.
You're a producer. So, you just need to know, the vibe was totally different. But I was, like, in the first 5 minutes, I was like, we have to do this now. Like, I have to meet her, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And my friend, who I was staying with, and her friend who produced, was the producer, executive producer on her film, she just looked at me, and it was so nice. She was like, she goes, it's just what you were saying. It's what made me remember it. She said, we're good. She's like, that. It's going to happen. So just
she'll
be.
Get here.
She was like, go have a drink, whatever. She's like, it's, and she was like over there. Like it was like, no, I want to. And they were like, just, it's going to be fine. You'll meet her later this evening. And then as it turned out, it was like 20 minutes later. So we got that out of the way, which actually I wanted because then I could enjoy the night. Because I've been waiting the whole time. I was like,
your anticipation was
oh
over.
My God, it was killing me 2 months before I even went there. But,
I'm sure.
So it was really great. She was really great. But you're absolutely right. You can't, had I been a gushing fan, and I also didn't do that either, which took every ounce of restraint I've ever had.
I can't even imagine. Well, I mean, I can.
It was just cool,
Rick Springfield, Sally Field.
We just, like, it totally. Was, like, she didn't know my background. No
I
one told her.
It made no sense. I don't know what the fuck I said.
Oh, I love that, Al.
I know, that's awesome.
Well,
but
it's
I was like,
it's weird when you meet a famous person in an environment where they really, don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't do the whole, she didn't ask about my background, of course, but it wasn't like, and nobody, of course, like, this is Doug. He's a hit. All my friend said is, she's like, this is Doug from Phoenix. He came to visit us and wanted to see the thing or blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh my God, it's so nice. She was like, it's so nice to meet you. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
What?
You're nothing.
And right.
Anyway, who are you again?
It was so charming.
What was your name?
And then it all depends on like what level of geekdom you're at. Like I was in L.A. and finally got to go to Merrick's or whatever it's called because they were having gay pride. I'm like, well, that restaurant's going to be empty. Fuck this parade. I'm going to go to Merrick's.
No.
We go and we get seated next to Ellen Green, 9 99.9% of the world has no idea who she is. She's suddenly Seymour. She's
I love her.
I had seen off Broadway when I was a child. Yeah. And then love the movie.
Did you sit next to her and go, feed me?
Well, no, but it's one of those restaurants where it doesn't matter if you wanted to sit next to them or not. You're seated so close together in tables for two that we ended up seated next to each other. And we had to have the conversation just flowed because we were crammed in there. Even on a day that was easy to get into, it was packed. So you ended up having this conversation and she didn't know I could be someone. She's not that famous anymore.
Oh, right.
Fair.
Right.
So she
it's a good
I
vibe.
Used to be because I was talking to her like I knew her. So she had to play along in case she knew me.
Yeah.
Right. And then,
true.
That's valid.
She didn't want to take a chance that she has as bad a memory as I do with people in
Vegas. Who's this asshole? He might get you a part.
And then a couple years later, I was at Burbank Airport, and Burbank has that that JetBlue Burbank to JFK flight that's just all celebrities.
Right.
Because there's no first class in those
planes. Because all they're doing is back and forth.
But it's a really easy flight from a studio to New York City to JFK.
Right.
And so I see her at the Starbucks or something. So I walked up to her and said how nice it was to meet her. And she was talking to me again okay, this is the second time I've seen this fucker. Still don't know who he is.
Which
but
major points go higher.
Yeah, he keeps talking to me like he knows me and he always seems to be in the LA area. And then Paula Abdul walks by. And she was running down the hallway like an ass.
And you were like, hey, Paula. Anyway,
I'm busy.
But it turns out that was
catch you later.
Paula Abdul was kind of big on American Idol at the time, or really big on American Idol. It was the number one show on TV. So she started to go up to Paula Abdul, who was like, I don't know who you are. Because she's an older woman. Ellen Green is way older than you think and does not wear makeup in public and probably should.
Oh, Ellen the blonde.
The blonde.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, Sydney Seymour. So she starts talking to Paula Abdul about the fact that she had choreographed something for her years before and they actually knew each other. And Paula Abdul was like, okay, crazy crack whore. Yeah. I'd rather talk to this guy because he looks like he, doesn't look crazy right now. But I looked calm because I was like, oh, Paula. You know what I mean? But it was this whole weirdness of star fucker as it went around the airport.
Exactly.
But it's Burbank flying to L.A., so who knows how much more famous everyone was going to get.
But that's where you see him.
Yeah.
That's where it happens.
And whenever I'm and I hate LAX, but every time I get on a plane in LAX, I look around. I'm
like, oh, yeah. That's
who do I know?
That's when you're going to be on the flight with Chelsea Handler. Yeah. Or,
who do I know?
I'm actually going to pop up right quick just because I can't. Where is she?
But she's very charming. She was very charming both times.
This is Ellen Green. This is the woman he's talking about.
That is not what she looks like.
Well, no, but that's her back in the day.
We want to think of her.
That's how we want to remember her. But, she's a very,
even though she's alive.
She's a very normal-looking person. She's very, very skinny. Yeah. She's a horrifyingly skinny person.
Super thin.
She kind of looks like it. Just here.
So when you see her with her no wig, no makeup, all you can think is
Can I have a
sandwich?
She really does look dangerously thin.
Yeah.
And also looks like Didi Khan from Grease, depending on the wig.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, very good. Right.
Depending on the wig, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Was she with her dark hair? Did she have dark hair when you saw her?
No, she has a blondish hair.
There's a ton of pictures of her. Oh, I bet this is probably more... Hang on. It takes me... I wish we had a producer.
It's kind of like Sutton Foster. Sutton Foster off stage.
Like this?
Is a...
That's a better representative?
That's exactly what she looks like. She was just wasn't wearing lipstick. She was just shockingly thin. And I feel like it was Jason Carlton that, as we were walking up the table, was like, isn't that Ellen Green?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, it is.
Oh.
What about Sutton Foster?
Oh, Sutton Foster in person?
You would never know her.
Doesn't wear makeup. She is the mousiest looking person.
You would never know.
And you would never, ever know. She came out of the stage door and walked right past a crowd of people.
They never
were waiting for her.
And she went home. And she went home.
She's tweeting, funny. I'm already home. And they're like, oh my God.
And it was one of the funniest things.
That's great.
Everybody that was outside of...
Schubert Theater?
Nope. It'll come to me. When we saw Hedwig with Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh.
Everybody's outstage waiting for Neil Patrick Harris, pretending to be Hedwig fans. Oh, we're the biggest Hedwig fans. We love Hedwig. John Cameron Mitchell walks out the stage door and walks by everybody.
And nobody gets him.
Nobody knows who he is. And I was like...
John Cameron Mitchell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was
absolutely.
So I just said hi to him, because that was as close as I was willing to get. Yeah. And he was like, I'm like, this worked. I'm like, are you excited that it finally made it to Broadway?
Sure.
And he was like... it's a dream. He's like, this is so exciting.
Wow.
That after all these years, we're on Broadway.
And everyone's wondering why you're talking to that midget.
And so we have...
Related? I mean, for real. He's Wait, a no. tiny little guy.
I know.
So as he left, I'm like,
I sat right next
Hedwig.
To him in Tucson when, and he performed oh, we live
he's
as Hedwig.
Maybe five, he's five, five, six. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, related story, Al?
But a real mousy yeah. looking, uh-huh. you'd never notice him in a crowd.
No,
I know.
Ever.
Wallflower.
Because he was at the Kate Winslet party at the Plaza Hotel.
Mm. Oh, I love
and
it.
And I have picture. I have a picture
I
with
love
him.
It.
And I met him, and he was so nice. So
yeah,
he was. I know, and we talked. I told him, I'm like, I do know who you are, and he was like, oh, thank you.
But it was just the funniest thing that everyone, oh, we're the biggest Hedwig fans, but they yeah, when Hedwig walked
really.
Out, nothing.
Shut up with this kid, Al. Shut up with this kid.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. My Sorry. Nephew. I just said that so we could put it up for my story.
I know. You, oh, oh, which did this,
I don't know what story.
Wait,
we're on.
Wait, no, it's you. But are,
it's
oh,
you.
Because yeah,
oh.
we beat
oh,
we
pushing
beat
daisies.
Adele.
Oh my God,
Sorry,
that's
so is
right.
The, is the picture you want me to use
yeah,
for
use
your
it
current
now.
Story?
Yeah,
that's a cute.
We're gonna continue on with this, even though we're so far. Keep going.
So just unrelated to anything, this is my nephew, and he's just
well,
the cutest
well,
fucking thing.
Wait, it's gonna take me a second to get there. Hang on.
Oh, I thought he had it ready.
No, because I've been producing. Quality entertainment.
Quality entertainment. So Marissa will help me here. Her nephew, my nephew, is
Jesus
9 months old.
Fuck.
This is 9 months?
He is 9 months old.
Wow, he's adorable.
Yeah. As of the 21st, I believe. My so Marissa's sister just sent me.
Where the hell did the picture go? Oh, there it is.
Marissa's sister just sent me a picture, and they're all over
Look
Facebook.
Look at that.
And he is the cutest fucking thing on feet.
Yeah. Look. Also, the little outfit. Too fucking cute.
To die for.
Look sweet. How cute that is.
Yep. Totes adorable.
So and they just keep dressing him in, with blue accents because those eyes are
yeah.
killer.
Yeah.
And that rabbit's scary behind him.
It's
but
a little
aside from that.
Aside from that.
Yep. Oh, nine months old this month.
I'm not going to lie. Every time I see the.
Oh
my God, because
that's
my.
Scary. Oh, that's a newer picture than the last one I saw.
So mm-hmm. my best friend, Seidel.
He has a publicist.
Lisa Seidel, her oldest nephew.
Well, actually, it looks like he does.
It probably does.
And first
well, it's Marissa.
Is yeah. named Owen. And one of our favorite movies
Marissa, he's
is
so cute.
Throw
he's
Mama from the Train.
Oh, okay.
And so every time I see that goddamn name, no offense to either Owen.
God
but
or
it,
the name.
Owen, you clumsy pig.
Oh, my God.
Who oh, me my bath.
Throw Mama from the Train.
I can't. And so when, I mean, we used to do that in high school. Like, we would just roar. We thought we were funny as shit. And then her fucking brother and sister-in-law have the first baby.
Oh, no.
In the and she called me, because at the time, she said, you'll never, not a chance in hell you're ever going to guess what my nephew's name is. And I'm sitting there, and I'm running through all the names that it could be. And I said, well, I sure as shit know it ain't Owen, so.
There it is.
There you have it. And we, of course... I mean, he's a darling child, but that name.
Oh, see, now, one of my favorite books of all time is A Prayer for Owen Meany by John, the Garp guy, The World According to Garp.
Yes.
The Hotel New Hampshire, John Irving. So that's how I remembered it,
okay.
just from the beautiful, beautiful A Prayer for Owen
well,
Meany.
Well, I love
that's
that,
just,
then. I'll have to read Irving. That, but I can't. Like, yeah. I try to get that out of my head.
Just be prepared. I'm not sure if A Prayer for Owen Meany or Cider House Rules is the
Cider
one
Rules.
That I ended up on the floor of my kitchen crying, talking to my mother because I was having a nervous breakdown.
Yes, that's the one.
But all his books end up crying, but A Prayer for Owen Meany is just lovely. And I think they made the movie was called Simon Birch. I think
yeah.
they changed
and why did
everything
they,
about it.
Why did they change the name?
Okay,
I never understood
I
that.
I never understood makes, why they changed it. But
thank
Simon
you,
Birch
I never
is the movie
the
based
innocent.
On A Prayer
Got
for,
it.
Yeah,
okay.
A Prayer for Owen Meany. So...
Anyway.
So this is kind of a segue. So a mother traveling from Saudi Arabia to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, had the scare of a lifetime this past weekend when she suddenly noticed she was traveling lighter than she planned.
Oh, no.
The woman had somehow left her baby girl at the airport.
Oh, no.
Somehow?
Oh, Whoa. Man.
The Saudi Airlines flight was in the sky when the woman realized she had forgotten her child.
Oh.
The mother informed the flight crew that her baby was back at the boarding area of a terminal at King Abdulaziz International Airport.
What?
Holy shit.
May God be with us. Can we come back? The pilot asked the on-duty air traffic controller. All right. So that's just a funny story. But let me tell you my
oh,
part
wait.
Of this funny story.
Well, that's all you're going to tell?
Wait.
What happened?
Oh, they're reunited. Life goes on.
Wasn't there a Home Alone movie about this?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The exact same plot.
Okay.
Come along, poor. Yeah.
So back in the... Right when... My God, how long ago was this? Neither I nor Heather worked at BS West yet. Oh we were
that's
just,
a long time ago.
We were just
Stone Age.
We were drinking at the BS West. And I think we had talked about Swept Away by Diana Ross. Some combination of us had talked about Swept Away by Diana Ross. That.
Okay.
So we were at the B and the S before a trip back. Oh my God, this is how funny this is. The story actually, I think Megan is listening. It was for Megan's christening where I had petitioned to be her godfather.
You have to petition?
I had to set up a petition. Okay. Due to my relationship with God, it felt important.
Well.
I'd like to ask permission.
So I had an overnight flight for the christening next day, but it may have been a day away.
Is that
Yes. So.
Oh, there's still champagne.
Yeah, of course.
We're not dead.
So we had gone to, because it was an overnight flight. It was back when red eyes were still like the fun and no one knew about them thing where you could sleep the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So we were on our way to the airport, but we stopped at the B&S for a little bit of drinking and dancing because it was me and Heather and a couple friends.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of got a little drunk because Bella kept playing Swept Away for me by Diana Ross. And I kept doing a one-woman non-drag number. So we ended up getting to the airport with just seconds to spare. And so we're running through the airport trying to get me on the plane. And it was back in the days where everybody could go through the gate.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And so the lady was like, get on the plane. I'm like, I have to pee. She's like, get on the plane. I'm like, I have to pee. So I went and went pee. I come back. I grab my bags. I run into the...
Because you could leave your bags alone.
I left them with Heather and company. So I run down the jetway, get on the plane, realize I have like a whole seat to myself, pass out across it, fall asleep, drunk off of my ass. So I get woken up like a little bit later. Sir, what? What do you need from me at this time?
On a fucking airplane.
And he's
You're
like,
the wrong plane.
Where's your baby? I'm like, why would I have a fucking baby?
Where's your baby?
He's like, where's your baby? And I'm like, I don't have a goddamn baby. Leave
I think
me
that
alone.
Needs to be the name of this show tonight, Clayton. Where's your baby?
So then I pass out again. That's what I call it, fall asleep. So I pass out again. Somebody wakes me up and they're like, sir. I'm like, what? What do you need from me? Where is your baby? And I'm like, I don't have a fucking baby. And if you people don't shut the fuck up about this baby, pass out again. I get woken up. They're like, we're landing now. You got to get off this goddamn plane. And where is your baby? And I'm like, I swear to God, if one more goddamn person asks me about this baby, I'm going to go postal, which was an expression
back then.
I'm
going to have a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. So I gather my things. I get off the plane. My mom is there with Debbie at the airport.
Looking for your baby.
And my mother goes,
the dingo ate it.
You have a baby? And I was like, what the fuck are all you people? And of course, I'm like full tilt, like swearing, because I'm hungover.
Pissed.
Still tired. Pretty much drunk.
Tired.
Wondering what kind of vortex. Heather had taken my carry-on bag and wrapped it in tape that said traveling with baby. And she had it all over the back of my jacket, which I was using as a blanket.
Oh my God.
Because it's cold in May. And I didn't notice any of it. It was like yellow caution tape on every inch of my
God.
Body. That said, traveling with me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Brilliant. That's brilliant.
So, if you ever want to know how much you can get away with me, you can cover me in caution tape.
Yes.
And I won't see it.
Yeah.
Oh. If I could take a phone call right now, I would call Heather down right now and put her on the air with us.
Yes.
Because that is a price.
And when she found out, she's like, you never saw it?
Did she do it as a joke?
Of course she did.
Well, I don't know.
Did she think it was going to have that?
Because the lady let her do it because the lady was so mad. The gate agent was so mad that I went pee. Because she's like, we have to close this. Like, they had seconds to close the door. And I'm like, I'm already peeing. Like, it's already happening. So just let me go. So the gate agent was in on it. She was so
fuck him.
She was like, fuck him. She's like, we're going to make
him. Oh, wait, this makes it better. I wonder if she was part of the conspiracy.
But the best part was,
when
I picked up the bag and didn't notice it, the gate agent was like, well, get him now. And that's when they started putting it across my back. I thought they were hugging me. They were just covering me with traveling with infant, traveling with baby stickers.
Wait, so I have a question. So they were in on it?
So no one drank.
Oh, now you have a question?
No one drank.
No, I do. They were in on it on wrapping you with it or in on it on asking you if you had a baby?
No,
because that would make it funnier.
No, because when I got on the plane, I just ran down the jetway. All they knew was that there was somebody late.
They didn't tell the flight crew?
And I sat down. No, only the gate agent knew.
Oh, but so not flight crew.
Who would think that you would walk more than 3 feet covered in yellow caution tape?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
You would.
Me.
Well, evidently Heather thought that.
So I never pay attention.
Do we know? Did they radio ahead and tell the gate agents?
No.
So when you got off the plane.
And it was this gay guy that was like, this kid does not have an infant, but I have to ask.
She don't got a baby.
She ain't got a baby.
But they had to ask because it's the rules.
Because it's the rules. Like,
oh, my God.
She's like, that's Alfred B.S. West.
That bitch doesn't have no baby.
Bitch ain't got no baby.
She's swept away by drinking.
That's fantastic.
Swept away.
Oh, that's my God.
Wrong.
One of my favorite Heather stories.
Oh, my God.
I have never heard
that. I agree
with
Joe.
I agree with Joe. You've been doing the show forever. Yeah. You've never. I don't recall you ever telling
me that story. I've never heard that story before, and I've known Al for 100 years.
I could not, but I can't believe you didn't hear when I got back, because it was the funniest fucking thing.
We weren't that close of friends then.
Ever, but this one was. I think I was with them.
While it was happening.
I was still living
with them. Oh, no. We lived together a couple years later.
Oh, God. Damn.
Heather's greatest move. And
that is funny.
I really, I always have wanted to meet the ticket agent to be like, really?
Damn.
But when my mom asked me, I was like, listen, lady, I don't know.
Mine is going crazy, too.
Yeah, mine is going like left, right.
I wish we had a producer.
There we go. Well, I wish we did, too.
That's my Saudi Arabia baby story.
Say something so I know.
Oh, no, that made it worse.
Wait, how about that now? We're good?
Back in
how
business.
How do you like me now? back in the day, those red eyes were so entertaining.
I love red eye flights.
Not anymore, because now they're full.
I meant back then. I took one in 1991.
She was born. Megan was born in May of 91.
Now I feel old.
It was cheaper for me.
Oh, now you do? After last Thursday?
Yeah.
Well, thanks to the reminder.
I feel older.
Happy birthday.
Geriatric.
Happy to go back to Buffalo or Niagara Falls. I'm actually from Niagara Falls. I've stopped saying, but Buffalo's the airport. But having to go back there all the time, that's how I would learn that, because no one wanted to fly to Buffalo. They just wanted to move the plane, so there was always red eyes.
I'm confused. You're from Niagara Falls?
Yes, I'm from Niagara Falls.
But you live in Buffalo.
No, never lived in Buffalo.
So some more news. I've only known Al for 500 years, and I always tell everyone my friend's from Buffalo, New York.
The Finger Lakes.
No, that's a different part of the state.
Do we have to call all my friends?
I'm from the Great Lakes.
Finger Lakes.
No,
Jason's from the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, I'm not.
Why
from the
do
Finger
I
Lakes.
Think that That's you it. Live in Buffalo?
You always
then.
Say that. I'm from Niagara Falls. Tim and I lived in Niagara Falls proper, 14304.
Well, I kind of knew that too, but. I've always said Buffalo.
Because that's where I fly. Because that's the airport. You have to fly to Buffalo.
I'm so confused right now.
There's no reason to be confused. My entire family always lived in Niagara Falls.
And never lived in Buffalo.
Never, not even.
Well, that's unfortunate for the 9 million people I've told.
And it came up with... Actually, it came up with Tim last week. I'm like, it's funny that Doug still tells people I'm from Buffalo.
I tell everyone that.
So I have to...
Everyone I've ever met, I've told that.
And I usually lean in and go, I'm from Niagara Falls.
Oh, my God. I wish we could have corrected that sooner. But now I think... I'm going to always say you're from Buffalo, because I think we just have to do it that way now.
And, and I'll just update them.
No, it feels right.
You let me know when I can do my story.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
We're still in the headline segment of this show.
I'm going to defer my time to the senator from entertainment and just
from Missouri.
I'm not going to do any.
Good Lord.
I'm not doing any more headlines. I'm sorry.
Good. Kramer. Okay, so then we're done with you. Are we done with your story?
Wow. Yeah.
Your story? Well, I just want you to have a period on that sentence.
Thank
you. You can relax, have a beverage.
I plan to.
Have
and
a
I don't
gummy
want,
bear,
I'm
for God's sake.
I find a purple one. But I do have to ask, Marissa and Megan, if they're still listening, if anyone ever told them that story, or if that story like lives on in legend there.
Or did you scream about it when you got there in 91?
Marissa
won't remember, obviously.
No, she wasn't born yet. But the funny thing is how hard like we laughed as I told them the story, because I had to call them from Chicago.
And your parents were like, what?
Yeah, they're like, what the
fuck is wrong with you? I'm glad you moved out. And
it was probably
Ruthie thought it ran in the family.
For some reason, it was one of the only times that my mom came to the airport, because it was mostly my dad or my sister that picked me up. Very, very rarely. That was one of the only times.
She was at home making cocktails.
And the only thing I said to her is, what the fuck, lady? Like,
the touching story of you and your mother.
Oh, no, there are purple ones. There you go.
There are.
Purple's the best.
You ate them all. And that's why they were hard to find.
Marnie, since Megan is listening, I just want to throw out my apologies. I didn't mean to be rude about your son's name. I just can't.
You got to read that, but you just got to change.
Yeah,
you just got
to
change the thing.
Try to change my thinking on it. So your son is absolutely fucking gorgeous, though.
Isn't he lovely?
He's just a beautiful little boy.
In fact, we'll put him up again. There he is, right there. Adorable kid. No. Don't worry about the rabbit. The rabbit's online.
No, the rabbit will not hurt you, son.
Especially if you saw
that
us.
That child is so beautiful. Yeah, I don't even know what to say right now.
He is just gorgeous.
I can't even transition from anything we've done the past 7 years to this story.
Okay.
So I'm just going to start it.
Wow.
Chloe was a gift from her grandmother.
Okay.
And the small Pomeranian poodle mix was loved by everyone in the family.
Oh no.
For 4 years, Nicole and Chloe played, snuggled, and were always there for each other. But when Nicole turned 14, her father got a new job. He took a position as a customer service representative working from the family's home. He needed the job to take care of his family, but Chloe's love of barking was putting the employment at risk. Cut to a picture of Chloe and the dog. I think that's enough of that. All right, let's move on with the rest of the story.
I loved her in the Addams Family.
Lovely. So after trying to make the situation work, the family came to the difficult decision that Chloe could no longer stay. They worked hard to find someone willing to take the lovable yet yappy pup, but no one came forward. With no other options, they surrendered the dog to a local animal shelter, hoping it would find another family that loved it as much as they did. While only 14 at the time, Nicole said she wasn't angry with her parents for surrendering the dog to the shelter. She was sad, but she said that she knew her parents loved Chloe as much as she did. If they said there was no other option, Nicole knew they were telling the truth. Now, 21 years old, current day, Nicole has a family of her own. She's married with a young daughter and lives about a half an hour away from the childhood home she once shared with the beloved dog. She's thought about Chloe a lot over the years, and she looked forward to one day maybe she could bring another dog into her family and her life. Now, her daughter is 1 year old, and she thought, now was the time.
Is it?
While on Facebook one day, she came across a picture of a small, long-haired dog that needed a new home. The elderly pooch reminded her of her long-lost Chloe, and she decided to take her in. The first coincidence was the dog's name. Like her childhood pet, the dog's name was Chloe. Next,
this is a pet cemetery story, right?
Next was the dog's age. The Facebook dog's current age was about 11 years old, the same age that Nicole's dog would have been. When Nicole was introduced to the senior dog, they immediately hit it off. The dog was energetic and loving, and Nicole was convinced the similarities were much more than a coincidence. Determined to prove her newly adopted dog was, in fact, her childhood best friend, she dug up old vet records and brought the dog in for an exam. The vet scanned the microchip, and Nicole had her proof right then and there. The numbers matched. They were apart for 7 years, but against all odds, cue Phil Collins' song, Take a Look at Me Now. Nicole and Chloe.
Take a look at me now.
Nicole.
She's just an empty shell.
Nicole and Chloe were reunited, and it felt so good. Oh. Thrilled to have her dog back, Nicole was also relieved to learn that Chloe had lived a good life since she last saw her. She was adopted by an elderly couple after Nicole's family dropped her off at the shelter. She was dearly loved and lived with her adopted family until the couple passed away. Chloe hasn't lost her love for barking, but this time, she's around people who don't really care. She'll live the rest of her life with her original best friend, and we're going to cut to a picture of Nicole as a young girl with the dog.
I love
now,
this story.
21 years
this is
old,
the best story.
With the same dog.
Now our parents just dead in the corner.
Dead.
Gone. Yep.
I don't know. The parents were involved in this story.
They got
story.
Taken yeah. to a shelter.
They got exactly.
They're on a farm running with all their friends.
But it's a free-range farm. So, but I thought it was so cool. So, she got her own dog back after all that time. I just thought it was a very cute story.
I love that story, Cleve. That's
You're
one of the
welcome.
Best stories I've heard in a long time.
Well, aside from the wrapping with the
She's
baby
drunk.
On board. Do you have another story?
I do.
Do it. Go.
So, Annette makes an interesting point. I don't come out good in any of the stories I tell.
Yeah.
That's why when you tell them wrong, I insist they be told right so I come out worse.
Wait, wasted
like,
in
sometimes
an airplane?
When people tell the stories, I come out a little bit better, but I have to correct them.
Just how drunk was Al?
And make myself worse. cue the one arm man story.
Before you go,
my version, I'm worse.
I did see it on this. I did see
and
a meme today.
You drove around with the arm in your trunk
on Facebook.
I bet they don't know that story.
They do. This made me think twice before you go. Just quick. I saw a meme on Facebook today that said, no matter how nice and good of a person you are the villain in somebody's story.
Sure,
and I was
sure.
like, that stopped me. I was like, guilty. Oh, fuck, I am.
You're the villainess.
And I think I am. Well,
oh!
Hello.
Whoa, I wasn't hello. Ready for that.
But I thought about that. I thought... I like
oh, did you read
that,
the
like,
card?
I like to think
oh, the card says villainess. Right.
I like to think of myself as nice, but I am positive I'm the villain. But isn't that a weird like way to...
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
That makes you check in with yourself.
You might be the shit, but you're so yeah. Nice.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me.
I feel better, too.
Moving on.
For those of you listening and don't know, that's the guest villainous theme.
All right.
That's exactly
and
true.
And yes. We'll keep that topic in mind for thoughtful vulgarity.
Boulder.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, Elephant Man.
I'm eating Triscuits and
what's
smoked
on those Triscuits?
Salmon.
That's what the Elephant Man ate.
Oh,
no, it is not.
Is that smoked salmon good? That cream cheese?
No. It's almost gone.
Because they have it at Trader
Joe's. No, he hated it.
I saw it at Trader Joe's and it looked sounded
it's
so
cream cheese
good.
And it's salmon.
No,
how
I know.
Gross.
But I eat them. I put cream cheese and I put salmon on it. And then when I saw they did it all in
better.
One thing,
time saver.
It's like, no,
time
I know.
Saver.
That, but I want to know, is it good though?
It's not.
Doug, do you like Triscuits? Doug?
I do. I love all
that
of the above.
Shut up.
All right. What
tell
I
your
will,
story.
What I will tell you, it's like pistachio flavored something. It's not, you know, it's nice.
It's okay. Lovely. You're going to love it. Look
You'll
at
like
you.
It.
Look at you. Let's watch Doug. If you turn it over, it's even better because your tongue enjoys all of the love that
wow.
cream
no,
cheese
no.
offers.
Okay.
No.
Yes, right. It does.
This is a thumbs up.
Yes, but no.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry, Marnie.
I can't that's see your right. thumb.
I yield my time to the
yes.
senator.
Yes, that's true, but no, I don't want to ever have you describe that to that to Doug ever again of where his tongue would feel good to you. Yes, but a very fast no. Who is she talking to?
Exactly.
That's my point.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or were you talking?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
she's
no,
making a point all of a sudden.
No.
Who got me drunk?
Look at you.
Said, oh. I thought you said that
Who
before
that?
You got here.
Fortunately, when I finish the Triscuits, I have Ritz crackers.
I'm just throwing that out there. Sam Adams is dedicating a beer. It's going to be unveiled this Friday for Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, named When There Are Nine.
So great.
Which, for Women's History Month, for the whole, I have looked. That was one reason I got lost in a rabbit hole in the last couple of days, trying to find, can I get this to bring to the show?
Sure.
And they're releasing it only in Boston, from what I'm getting out of this.
Somebody will ship
and
it to you for a ludicrous amount of money.
I'm feeling that is true. But anyway, that's what I've been was trying to work on. But
I equate the story to you trying to hire George Michael for my 40th birthday.
Real close. Because right
how
now...
How much could it possibly be?
Exactly. Can't be that much. Maybe we'll get an imposter. That means, you know,
right.
So it'll be fun.
She finds out that it's $1.5 million just to get George to
just
show up.
Just even
is there an impersonator out of L.A. Yeah. we could get? Yes,
somebody.
Of course we could. Yeah.
So Boston brewer Sam Adams is dedicating the new beer to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, named after one of the liberal judge's comments about gender and the court. When There Are Nine, a Belgian Brut IPA, takes its name from the 86-year-old's declaration that there will be enough women on the Supreme Court when there are nine.
Yep.
The beer brand will unveil the new brew next week during a, quote, special celebration that I will not be at. That's an aside. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to the Pink Boot Society, an organization that promotes women in the beer industry. Didn't know there was a thing.
Laverne and Shirley. Laverne and Shirley. Women in the beer industry.
But that's
a, oh, that wasn't a question. So yelling out the answer was not the right.
Nope.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But that's actually interesting because beer is male dominated, right? So I like this.
Beer was created solely by women.
Still men.
We wanted to name it, which I just thought fantastic.
What?
We wanted to name it Brute Bader Ginsburg, but our legal team dissented. A representative for the Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams' parent, did not respond to a request for comment on Friday. The beer is made with a blend of hops created by the Pink Boot Society and Yakima Chief. We've talked about Yakima Chief before.
Well, Yakima, like the town in Washington? Yakima?
I believe so. We've talked about Yakima Chief, which is an international hop supplier. But we've talked about that before because there was something...
Or a supercoach train on its way to a town in Washington.
Maybe.
Could be.
Anyway, it was created in honor of International Women's Day, which was celebrated earlier this month on the 8th, I believe.
No, it's my sister's birthday.
Ginsburg was nominated
to
the bench.
It's my aunt's birthday.
By President Bill Clinton and confirmed in 93, becoming the second woman on the top court. The 9-member court now has 3 female justices, including Ginsburg, as well as Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, all of whom were appointed by Democratic presidents.
Weird.
Weird. I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, Ginsburg, a Brooklyn native, recently returned to the
Sandra
bench.
Sandra Day O'Connor was Reagan, right?
Reagan. Yeah. That's correct.
Yep. We gotta give him
1980.
Credit. He was the first.
And she was a good justice.
And she was the first, yes.
Wait, 1980 would make it Carter.
When, no,
it was
Reagan.
It was when Reagan just came out.
Yeah, but Reagan became president in 81.
81.
It's
January
81.
Of
the, 81 then.
Okay. It's one of the first things he did.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There
wanted a woman for sure.
Yep. I just thought that was bad.
God, we just said something nice about Ronald Reagan.
That's okay.
Still dead. There's two things.
Still dead.
Two things. Yeah, that's another nice thing. Wow.
So's Nancy. Three. Would you like to go
Nancy
for...
Hey, Al, here's a fond memory. Do you remember there's still bullets left in that gun?
Oh.
But it's not politically correct to say now.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not.
We used to have
we used to have that.
There was this conversation that we used to have. We can do this for thought. I think we've done this for thoughtful vulgarity.
We could do it again.
Maybe. There was a conversation about how assassins were usually...
Clayton's
the assassinated were always progressives. Okay. Like, conservatives rarely get assassinated.
Yeah.
So what if we turn the table and conservatives got assassinated? You know what I mean? Like Kennedy, Lincoln.
I wasn't ringing for that.
I wasn't ringing
was that an accidental ring?
Yeah, right? For assassination.
So we used to talk about if you had to assassinate someone
right.
at the current time, it was a breakfast over bagels and coffee. It was a Sunday morning conversation about who, you had 6 bullets in the gun. Who would you assassinate if you were going to be the
six?
Shooter? Right. Yeah. So it was a very... And now, granted, it was a very politically charged
time.
Very,
and,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's also a very challenging thing. Like, does someone deserve, like, if you disagree with them, should they be assassinated?
Right.
But unfortunately, it's what the people that killed Lincoln, Kennedy,
right.
Martin Luther King. God forgive me, I cannot remember how Malcolm X died, but I'm sure he was assassinated, wasn't he?
I've got two names written.
I'm
going to
say yes.
Yeah, and I'm horrified that I've seen the movie. And
I'm going to tell you, I've not seen the movie, but I still don't know.
We would get to the end of some of these, we would say, well, there's still another bullet left.
There's still another bullet left. And you'd be like, well. And Reagan never left the top. He never left.
Nope.
Reagan was always on the list to assassinate.
I got, at this point, there's 4 bullets left in my gun.
Right. This show will now make the rounds at the FBI.
We've always
that's how we get. That's how we trend.
Yeah.
I really do.
We've been trying for years.
If the government didn't listen, we'd have no listeners.
Joe is correct.
Joe is correct.
It's a different version of Mary Fuck Kill.
It is.
Assassinated.
A more disturbed version.
Yeah, he was assassinated in 65.
Okay.
You're done. You finished your story?
I'm declining.
I did not finish my story, but we're way over time. So my other story, a plane took off for one place and ended up in Scotland, and they realized they were flying the wrong direction. That's my next story.
I saw that. I saw that on...
Stories were about planes that had to turn around and go back, and that one was because the pilot just flew in the wrong direction, forgot where he was going, and went to Scotland.
Marnie, did you have something? Or did we do it?
But it wasn't the pilot's fault.
I mean, I have other stories.
No.
But that wasn't the pilot's fault. It was the Is it called the flight program?
Right. Yeah, that
was already redone. And it was the pilot was as surprised as anybody else when they landed.
Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck are we doing?
Why is there a bagpiper out there?
They were supposed to go to Dusseldorf and they landed in Scotland.
Oh, Danny boy. Landed in the wrong place.
No, that's Ireland.
Whatever.
This was Scotland.
Shut up. It's my show.
they don't like each other.
Nobody likes the show.
Do not, if you meet a Scottish person, do not wish them a happy St. Patrick's Day.
No.
You will get punched.
You will get killed.
They do not celebrate that holiday.
We're all the same ethnicity on May 5th, so who cares?
Right. but on right March 17th, the Scottish people do not want to know you.
What, Ryer?
Nothing. I have something for later if we have time.
Well, who knows? We'll see how it works out.
We'll see how that goes.
I'm going to get this out of the way just because it's an old story already. grocery shopping can take a big chunk out of any family's budget, so people are always searching for new ways to save money. We were talking about that earlier about the
coupons,
the Secret Saver card. No, the Secret Saver. The you sign up for your
digital
receipts and all the digital stuff.
Loyalty program.
Love it.
Thank you,
Grandma.
Jesus. I think the Corbell has taken its toll. From choosing the best day of the week to shop on couponing, which, by the way, Mom, you know,
Tuesday,
it's the first Wednesday of each month at Fry's because that's your senior 10% discount day. You may be.
Now, do you like?
Wait, hold up. That used to be every Tuesday.
No, it's the first Wednesday of every month.
She just admitted her age. I used to go every Tuesday.
That's right.
For 10 years. No,
my mom did. So.
No, so it's the first Wednesday of each month.
My grandmother.
But the beauty of the whole thing is I can go too because I just used my mom's card. Anyway, but one thrifty shopper in Long Island, New York, she took her sweet time. She took a long time to save a few pennies. On Tuesday, an Antalee Shashkin, who worked in a grocery store for 13 years and currently manages North Shore Farm Supermarket in Manalua, New York, was presented with a surprising, some might even say vintage, voucher. Shashkin was handed a coupon from 1983, which, if you're not too fond of math, was 36 years ago.
Wow.
To redeem 20...
I hate your math!
20, it's in the story.
I was told there would be no math.
Okay.
The coupon was to redeem 20 cents off of a bottle of Crisco. Coupon.
I could see where you like this story.
I love that it says no expiration date.
Many coupons come with a very specific requirements. For example, you have to buy multiple items or restrictive expiration dates. But coupons without expiration dates are apparently good for fucking ever. Almost 40 years later, and the manufacturer's coupon clearly states no expiration date. After Shashkin took a photo of the coupon, which he could, whatever, it's European.
It's European.
Shame Shong.
Confirmed today, the food that he did accept the coupon, shared on Twitter, people started having a field day about different coupons. Some on social media point out that due to inflation, some asshole pointed this out, due to inflation, the coupon was technically worth less than 20 cents in $1983.
That's a real asshole.
If it had been for 20% off or more, the shopper would have saved about the same amount of money on a standard bottle of oil.
Can we go find that person and kick them?
Many simply marveled at the coupon's vintage look and admired the shopper, who wishes to remain anonymous, for holding on to such a small, flimsy piece of paper for so long. However, most people can agree that a modest deal on a household staple is probably better than no deal at all.
I love that.
Don't you?
Two fantastic stories tonight, Clayton.
We've had
one great solution.
I'm going to save my
third. We lowered his expectations with champagne.
Well, couldn't come up. I couldn't even find my stories on the internet. So.
Lowered expectations. Alberta!
So,
glass of wine.
A couple shows have ended. And we're going to talk about the finales. We had a wonderful episode of Schitt's Creek that we're all going to talk about.
Oh,
my bottle of wine is on the top shelf of the refrigerator. Please feel free to bring it in. And then I have other things queued up. Who knows where they are?
We don't know.
We don't know. You have the big finales of all things are ending this year. It's all going away. But Veep and Game of Thrones, and we're happy, we're sad, we're all the feelings.
Okay, so we're going to come back to entertainment. Listen to the bump, you'll enjoy it. We're coming right back in 2 minutes.
You can't put a price on dignity.
Tell that to your outfit.
This is your outfit.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.